All right, we do this with Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle. We look through the window of baseball for Truitt and White, the professional builder's choice, and Marvin Windows and Doors. Bruce is with us every weekend during the baseball season. Bruce, good morning. How are you today?
Hey, Bruce.
Hey, Marty. What you guys? How you guys doing?
Well, we're thinking pizza, so now we're going to move to you. So
that... Well, I got to tell you, before a lot of Giants games, I go over to Amici's right across the street. I'm not trying to plug them; they just really are that good.
Yeah, no, it is. It's special, and I love the sports pictures too. It makes you feel like you're part of the game.
Yeah.
Hey, first of all, Chris Bryant. Bruce, the beauty of baseball is this guy Clint Hartung? Is he Randy Elliott? Is he Mickey Mantle? Who is he? Roberto Clemente, who made his debut on April 17th in 1955. But the Cubs brought him up, and there he was in Wrigley Field, and the drama of Twitter, Facebook, and every other social media all over it, and he faced James Shields. Good morning, good afternoon, good night, goodbye.
The hype was ridiculous. I mean, the guy is obviously one of the great prospects in the game. And the Cubs, they've been losing forever. The ballpark's kind of a shambles, and I guess they needed a little bit of fanfare. But it was just way over the top for a guy who's never played. And all of a sudden he faces some really big league stuff and looks bad. And yesterday he made an error at third base on a relatively easy play. But he's going to be all right. But it's just the buildup was way too much.
Yeah, he had a couple of he got a blue pit off Kimbrel. You've seen a little bit of the Padres. I'd love to, every Sunday I always like to sit back and take a deep breath. How do you see this National League West now? Padres split with the Cubs. They've got another game today. Ross did sort of what he did against the Giants last week. The Dodgers are coming in next week. My goodness, Brett Anderson, Kershaw or Bumgarner on Wednesday night, and then Greinke on Thursday, who just kills everybody.
Yep.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the West over the first 2 weeks?
Well, the Dodgers look really, really good to me. They've got a much better vibe going on with that team. There's much less sort of bickering between the players, maybe a little jealousy or not liking the way certain guys handle things. Puig's blending in a lot better. The Rollins Kendrick thing is working out really well. Peterson looks good. They got Corey Seager coming on. Uribe may not keep that third base job because they got some young guys coming in, and the pitching looks good. I mean, if they could win the division easily, but I'm not quite sold on that taking place. I think what I'm really liking about it is that all five teams look pretty good.
Yeah.
And there's a chance that they could all be in it well into the summer. I mean, we've seen Arizona and San Diego play against the Giants. They both have a ton of strong points. And, Troy Tulowitzki on a night Kershaw was pitching great, just hammered dead pull down the line off a fastball home run. I mean, that guy's just, he's a god. As long as he and Carlos Gonzalez are healthy, the Rockies are going to be in there too. So I just think it's pretty impressive all around.
Hey, Bruce, one name I'm sorry if I didn't hear you mention, but Adrian Gonzalez is having he's going off. I mean, this guy's quietly had a... Is he a Hall of Famer, quietly? What do you think, Bruce?
Well, I don't think you can be a Hall of Famer quietly. That's why I didn't vote for Rafael Palmeiro, whether or not he did PEDs or anything else. You've got to be an impact guy. You got to be loud.
Yep.
You got to be noticeable. You got to look at a guy and go, that guy's a Hall of Famer, like he did, Eddie Murray or Pete Rose or Frank Thomas just a few years into their career. You go, that's a Hall of Famer right there. Not to suggest he isn't a great hitter. He's a hell of a hitter, and he's been one, but he's a little bit on the quiet side, but he's still got a few years left. I mean, it's that argument has not been settled. If he were to hit 330 and drive in 120 runs for three straight years, and the Dodgers win the World Series all 3 years, it'd be an entirely different argument.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. A good hitter, the Boston years maybe got lost a little bit.
Yep.
But out of San Diego now, revitalizing his career with the Dodgers, I agree with you. But it would take about five big years for me to put him in that category. Bruce, the lineup today for the Giants a little bit different today. Susak is behind the plate, and Brandon Belt is in left field. The club is 4-9. Is this the beginning of something here? We've talked about it a lot. Brandon Belt going to the outfield.
Yeah, well, they've always backed off on that notion until now, and I've always been completely in agreement with that. He's a first baseman. He is your first baseman, and, of course, there's going to be times when you're going to need Posey over there, so you don't want to take Belt out of the lineup. I mean, Belt did a huge thing last night. He's up there with a 0.71 batting average, gets a 1-0 tailing fastball from Evan Marshall, and takes it to left field. Thank you, against the shift. You know, I mean, this is something he should do more of. I'm just surprised he hasn't dropped a couple of bunts down the line, because he's really, really struggling. But that was a great sign. He takes a pitch to the opposite field, and so you don't want to take him out of the lineup. So that's a little bit tricky. But I just thought last night in general, I was at the Warriors, but I came back and watched it on TV. I mean, the ceremony was great. You start the game with two really smart at-bats from Aoki and Panic. You get the lead right off the bat. You know, Heston has an eight-pitch seventh inning, you know, and McGee went to the opposite field. It was just a good night, and they needed it badly. That was a huge win. I mean,
yes.
If you can have a huge win in April, that was definitely it.
Yeah, and for a couple of reasons. Number one, the record. You know, you're coming in an eight-game losing streak, so you want to break that. The other thing is Chris Heston. I mean, let's face it, Matt Cain's not going to do any better. He's done something that no rookie in the history of the franchise ever did in six-plus innings of one earned run or less in his first three starts. He's doing what the horse is doing, and it bodes well, but you got to go around the league twice, but you got to go around once, and he's going around once first.
Yeah, you got to go around once first, but what I like about him is that he's not just blowing people away with unbelievable stuff. He's a smart pitcher. He keeps the ball away from hitters right and left. He's got a little backdoor curveball that throws to lefties, you know, and he just keeps guys off balance. He's just off the hitter's wheelhouse while still staying on the corners of the zone, which is hard to do. But you know, we saw that from masterful guys like Greg Maddux and Tommy John and Randy Jones. He's kind of that kind of a pitcher, and I always admire that kind of guy. He's smart. He works the plate, and I don't know. I just think he's got what it takes to be a pitcher in the big leagues.
Yeah. Bruce Jenkins from the Chronicle here with us. Marty Patrick at the Public House. I want to get your thoughts on the drama in Kansas City between the A's and the Royals. Bruce, what's going on? I mean, I don't want to harken back to the good old days when you could slide in, spikes up, but what's going on with that series? What do you think?
Well, that Lowry slide, it was right in the middle of whether it was over the top or legal. It was right in that nebulous zone. Mm-hmm. I've heard a lot of people say, listen, it was hard, it was tough, but it wasn't dirty. I've heard other people say that was too much, you know, that he didn't have to go in that hard in that specific situation, and the guy got hurt. So, you know, the A's tried to defuse it. Lowry said, hey, I didn't do that. I'm going to reach out to Escobar. Mm-hmm. You got Billy Butler trying to smooth things over with the former teammates, and it should have really ended there. I mean, you know, after the first at-bat last night, it looked like it had ended, and then all of a sudden the A's roll up a few runs and Reddick homers, and then they hit him. I mean, for God's sake. And good for Lowry just taking his base. I mean, if he'd made a scene, then we would have had a fight over nothing. You know, sometimes fights are very necessary, and they do some good, you know, assuming nobody gets hurt. But that was just a little ridiculous. You know, the Royals should be better than that.
Well, we had Textgate after that. Did he get the text or didn't he get the text?
Yeah.
You know, and then everyone's showing everyone. This is life today.
This is very
in baseball.
Weird. It's weird.
Let me show you my cell phone. I did text him. I didn't get the text.
I can show you mine. I just don't know really how to use it very well.
I mean, this is what the world of baseball has turned into. It used to have a player visit him in the hospital.
Right.
You know, now we send you a text, and we have to find out if you received it or you deleted it or something else. Crazy. Well, if he put his leg, we'll say this. If Lowry put his leg higher, we had the reincarnation of Ty Cobb coming in.
Big time.
And we don't see that much anymore.
No.
Yeah, it's a good thing he didn't go in with the so-called spikes high. Then that's when it really gets... But that's old-style ball. That's the way it was for years. That was Frank Robinson and Hal McRae and Ty Cobb. And
Don Baylor, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was saying this morning, Dwayne Kuiper, his career was curtailed big time by a slide at second base. So you don't see it, I guess, and for the good. You get out of the way, you make the play, and replay helps as well. Bruce, a couple of things. One, Brandon Crawford, great defensively. He's again, raising his game defensively. But he's got two hits in his last 30 at-bats. They're both home runs. all he sees now are changeups, and they're seeing so many right-handed pitchers, righties throw changeups to lefties. It's amazing to me. Every time you turn around, it's another changeup going to a Giant.
Yeah, well, in Crawford's case, some of the best contact he's made has been against left-handed pitchers, which isn't that unusual for him. But it's hard to sit on a changeup in the big leagues. You know, you've got to be ready for the fastball. That's the number one rule of hitting. If you're not a big league hitter, if you can't get around on a fastball, so you know, if on certain pitches you might be able to guess changeup, but and it is coming the Giants' way in a lot of cases. I mean, Cole Mentor completely baffled him, throwing like 86 mile an hour fastballs, you know, and a lot of off speed stuff. And when you're in a funk, you know, everything builds up. I don't think it's a major crisis. I think the team's due for a team-wide turnaround hitting-wise because they're just too good not to. And of course, when Pence comes back, that's going to be very big. McGee gets a little healthier. But right now, everything's magnified. And, you know, I think Crawford's always going to be an up-and-down hitter. I don't think he's never going to be a 300 hitter, and I don't see him being a really consistent run producer. But I don't think he's a hopeless case either. I think he could be good for 270 and then drive in some key runs every now and then.
Yeah, he should. There's no reason not to. And, you know, he's got the swing. He'd like to hit it out of the park. And that's the shortstop today. You know, the shortstop today has a lot of power. If he cut down his swing, seriously, and had the swing more like maybe a Joe Panic or someone like that, I think he could hit 300 because I think he's that good of a hitter. But he wants to hit the long ball. And in the eighth spot, it's incredible. He does come through quite a bit. You know, it's not easy to hit eighth. Let's face it.
Yeah.
You're not getting a pitch to hit. But
well,
he gets it and he drives.
And another thing is, you know, hitting eighth, if they're going to not give you a whole lot, you're going to be pitched away a little bit. And he's, like most of the Giants, he's very capable of going the other way. But if you're thinking long ball, that's not going to happen. But if somebody's pitching around you and comes with a tailing fastball away, why not take it to left field? He can do it. He just hasn't been doing it lately.
All right, last thought. Bumgarner, Kershaw on Wednesday night. You coming for that one?
Yeah, I think I might be at all three of them, but definitely that one. The first two for sure. Yeah, that's going to be fabulous. God, what a great matchup. That's what everybody wants to see. And those are very big games for the Giants. I mean, because the Dodgers have looked like really clearly the best team in the division so far. And that would be a heck of a night for the Giants to carve out a great win and kind of reverse the trend a little bit.
Well, it's going to be fun. Are you going to stop by the meditation room first in the clubhouse?
I'll be doing some yoga, then some meditation, yes.
Hey, Bruce, before we let you split, we got Brad Mangin sitting out here, and I know you've taken a gander at his championship blood, him and Murph's championship blood. Your thoughts?
Brad Mangin shoots baseball better than anyone in the country right now, and that includes the Sports Illustrated guys. Of course, he was and still is shoots for Sports Illustrated, but this book to me is his master stroke. I've known Brad a long time. We used to have hardball games against the Giants front office at Candlestick and a couple at Pac Bell, and Brad would come out and shoot everybody and give everybody photos of them taking cuts at the ballpark from great angles and people shots and guys laughing in the dugout, and he's got the eye. That's a great book, I got to tell you.
Yeah, we're going to give two away today after this break, so it's going to be a lot of fun. Hey, Bruce, thanks so much, and we'll talk to you next weekend.
Right on, Bruce.
Sounds good, guys. Talk then.
All right. Bruce Jenkins, the great Bruce Jenkins. Yeah, he's terrific. Isn't he terrific?